What will I find in my travels? On my trip where the bricks turn red? Will I find more shocking reveals when I enter the house of the dead? I look at it, and I see a man made of tin. He is smiling and holding an axe. There is truth to be found and stories to be told, for the voice is cursed by silence. What for me will the future hold on this path broken with violence? Nick Chopper. Stories to tell as I follow the thread with all my being and core. What will I find when the bricks turn red? Simply the truth and nothing more. From the wonderful land of Oz, this is Fiction Crime Time. I'm your host, Adam Farmer. Today, I'm going to tell you a story. And as many good stories do, it has twists and turns, drama and action, intrigue and startling reveals. I'm going to try a new format for this episode to accentuate the storyteller part of investigative storyteller. But before we get to that, I feel like I need to explain to you the fallout of my last episode. Because of the photograph that was brought in, Nick Chopper was taken into OBI custody. The OBI did a sweep of the castle and found the axe. It still had bloodstains on the blade. He confessed to the killing of Bruno, the dogs, and the bees. He seemed to have no emotion while doing so. By the end of the interrogation, the investigators made a comment questioning how someone could commit that many gruesome murders. Only someone without a heart could do something like that. Chopper simply stared at the investigators and said, "Exactly." The investigators tried to press further to get Chopper to reveal the identities of the other two accomplices, and if either of them were responsible for the other deaths, but he simply sat silently. He never asked for a lawyer, he just didn't talk. He's currently being held at the Emerald City Prison, while the prosecutors are gathering evidence and witnesses for the trial. I've been asked by the OBI to refrain from looking more into Nick Chopper or his murders while the prosecutors are conducting their own investigation. They feel as though I would be in the way, and I suppose they aren't exactly wrong about that. So, I move on. I let the wheels of justice turn, and move on to look into the life and death of Ivory Ironwood. The caretaker of the castle let me in for a few hours to look around and investigate. This was, of course, after the OBI already did their sweep of it to find the axe and other evidence against Nick Chopper. I gathered all my evidence together in a little story of the life of Ivory. And here it is. Ivory Ironwood was taken in by a family of Winkies when she was just a baby. She was deformed and scarred from some dark magic that had been placed in her. When the Winkie family found her on their doorstep, they were frightened at first. But they knew of the charity of Ozma and decided to raise the child in love. They couldn't figure out where the child came from, and it honestly took me a while to find out for myself. But it would be revealed to them years later, when she would begin seeking her own origin. But for now, she was theirs. She was their little Ivory of the Ironwood clan. Over the years, Ivory began to develop a fascination and affinity towards magic. She would love going to the tents and seeing the traveling magicians or witches performing shows and telling fortunes. She wanted to learn magic herself, but her parents tried to dissuade her from going down that path. They believed she needed to stay with the clan and find work within the clan. Of course, this changed when she showed her first spark of magic. That day, her and her mother were in the barn tending to the animals. Ivory was dreaming about visiting the Emerald City, but her mother wasn't having any of it. She began to explain to Ivory the importance of the clan and why they needed to stay together. But this only angered Ivory. She wouldn't be able to explain it for years, but in a flash, the broom she was holding went up in flames. Startled, she dropped the broom, and the fire began to spread on the hay on the floor. Her mother quickly grabbed a pail of water and threw it on the fire. A few drops splashed up and hit Ivory, and she screamed. The water burned. According to her diary, it burned worse than the fires of hell. She was quickly taken to the doctor, but he couldn't figure out what was wrong. The water left scorching marks in her flesh, like it had been burned by a fire. The doctor healed it as best as he could and gave her something for the pain. But from then on, everyone in the clan was terrified of her. She was still a part of the clan, but she was an outcast, a witch. Even her parents were scared. This incident finally convinced them to let her train to use and control her magic. The training was tough. She found that she needed to control her emotions to control the magic, but the magic would only come out at her most emotional moments. To remedy this, her teacher told her that instead of letting the emotions use her, she needed to use the emotions. To use an example, she asked Ivory what would make her happy. And she said to be able to fly. Her teacher gave her a broom and said, "So do it." And she did. She learned to fly using a broom and the happiness it brought her. The training went on that way for months, years even. She learned to use her deformed eye to see over great distances. She learned to properly cast spells and make potions. More importantly, she learned to control the fire that kept coming out at her most emotional moments. Her teacher asked her why she was so focused on the fire in particular. She said that she didn't know. It was just within her, like a scar, or a curse, or a memory. Her teacher then sent her on a mission. She said that once Ivory discovered the answer to this question of why fire, she would be able to control that fire. And so, she set off, on a journey similar to the one I've been on, in search of answers. At the beginning of her journey, she knew that she had to find out how she ended up with the Winkies. They had told her before that she had been adopted, but they didn't go into detail. When she asked them about it now, they told her they didn't know any more. She had been left on their doorstep. They didn't know how or who left her there. She asked if she could see anything that was with her when she was found. Her adopted parents showed her the basket and the blanket that she was in when they found her. There was nothing else, but that was enough for Ivory to start with. She performed a lesser scrying spell on the basket to show her what it was made of and where it was made. In the scrying vision, she saw a river moving along a chain of mountains. From her study, she recognized the mountains as the Gilliken Mountains to the north. She quickly flew there by broomstick. At first, she had thought it would be easy. Find the weaver who made the basket and she finds the first clue. But when she arrived, she realized that was not the case. In this region, the main industry is basket weaving, and baskets are mass-produced. Yes, her basket did come from this region, but it's almost impossible to determine who made this one or who bought it. A dead end. Then, she remembered the fire that burned within her. The purpose for her journey. The vision became clearer, as though the closer she got to the truth, the clearer the image became. She saw fire all around her. It burnt her. Engulfed her. She tried to scream, but no one would come to her. Then she got an idea. She went to the local library. She cross-referenced all newspaper stories from before she ended up in the Winkies' doorstep, having to do with fire. She saw an article about a controlled burning of a few acres of land near the Gilliken Mountain Preserve. She read about protests that happened because of it, but she didn't seem to see anything that seemed to give her the answer she was looking for. She read another article about a bonfire that the high school students had for homecoming, but she only skimmed past that one. She continued looking until an article caught her eye. The story told her of a family who died in a fire, and only a little girl survived. "That was me," she thought. "I survived, and the rest died because of a fire." She began to blame herself. She believed that she caused the fire because of her uncontrolled magic, that somehow she lit a spark that killed her mother, father, and sister. She had a sister. A sister who never had the chance to grow up. Years of guilt and anguish rushed over her after finding this out. So this was her trauma. This was the fire which cursed her memories and plagued her magic. The fire which burned into her very soul. She caused it, yet she was the only one who survived it. She spent the next few days coming to terms with it, researching more to see if there was a chance her mother and father or sister survived. But she found no evidence of that in her research. There was nothing in the paper after the fire about who took her in. It only talked about how she survived. She knew that she had to get out and ask around. She didn't know if she was ready to go out and face the world again, but she had to. She asked around, but got nowhere further than what the paper said. She was almost desperate when one person asked her why she was so interested in this story. "Well," she said, hesitant to confess, "because I'm the little girl who survived." The man laughed and said, "No, you're not." She was somewhat shocked at his reaction. "Yes," she said, "I am. I'm Ebony Arewood." "Look," he said, "I don't know what you've been taking to make you think this way, but last I checked, Ebony Arewood is living her best life in Munchkinland. I would stop telling this stuff to people if I were you. Identity theft isn't a joke, and people will just think you're insane." She didn't know what to do. Everything in her being told her the answer was in that burning house, but if she wasn't Ebony Arewood, then who was she? She continued reading and rereading the article. Perhaps there was something she missed. She was stuck in her hotel room all that weekend because it was raining nonstop. During that time, she also did some research on Ebony Arewood. The girl grew up to become an alchemist. She is campaigning to be the Witch of the East, but people are against it because she has no magic. She has no magic. Ivory thought about that for a moment. She looked back over the article about the fire. The fire department stated that they couldn't determine the cause of the fire. Witnesses claimed the house spontaneously burst into flames. She reread more statements from the fire department. One report said that the fire seemed to begin at the crib of the baby who died in the fire. Almost like magic. Then the wheels that were turning in her brain stopped and exploded in a burst of knowledge and a vision, a memory, a nightmare. She saw her hand outstretched, only a small hand, a baby's hand. She felt angry, jealous. Why were they spending more time with her when they should be taking care of me? She cried out, but that wasn't working well enough. She felt a surge of energy rush through her. It burned through her. Her bones cracked and flames filled her eyes. And out of her outstretched hand flew a ball of fire. It caught on the drapes of the window and traveled fast until it completely surrounded her, engulfed her, burned her. The last thing she heard were the screams of her mother and father. She woke from the vision to hear a voice behind her say, "So, now you know, Evie." She turned to see her teacher. Ivory said, "How am I here? How am I alive?" Her teacher shrugged and said, "Some may call it necromancy. I call it mercy. I know talent when I see it. I brought you back. Of course, I couldn't fully repair your scarred body, and there are other side effects, of course." She gestured towards the rain outside and said, "I guess it's a good thing they made dry shampoo." But Ivory wasn't laughing. She asked, "Who are you really?" "Me?" the other witch asked. "I am an outcast like you. Someone shunned by the world and scarred beyond recognition. I am called Mombi." Ivory recognized the name. Mombi was an evil witch who lived in the north. She was a legend to some, a reality to others who wandered beyond the path. "So why?" Ivory asked. "Why did you bring me back?" Mombi replied, "I saw potential, and I need you to help me collect some debts. Starting, of course, with the wizard himself." "Why would I help you do that?" Ivory asked. "Because," she said, gesturing towards the photo of Ebony Airwood. "Look at what you could have had. She took your parents' love, and she is still living a happy life. She has forgotten about you. Do you not want to remind her who you are?" Something clicked within Ivory. Something new. Or maybe it was there all along. She smiled. Yes, she would remind her sister who she was. She was the sister with the powers. The sister who used those powers for her own means. She was the representation of sins Ebony never had the courage to commit. She turned to Mombi, smiling, and simply said, "Yes, let's be wicked." Thanks for listening to this episode of Fiction Crime Time. I hope you liked this storytelling format. I wanted to try something new, so I'd like to hear what y'all thought about it. Make sure to follow our socials and tweet at us, letting us know what you think, or give your feedback by tagging us on Instagram and Facebook. The links are in the description below. This episode was written and narrated by me, Adam Farmer. A new episode will be released every other week, so be on the lookout for episode 10 on June 1st. And, as always, remember that everyone has a story to tell. So, don't be shy. Go out and tell yours. Thanks again for listening.